Message number one on the first epistle of John. Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the ever-precious and the worthy name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. This is your Bible teacher of the air speaking, J.W. Bramhall, giving you a hearty welcome to the commencement of a study in the first epistle of John. It is wonderful to know the Word of God, and particularly its ministry to the hearts of God's redeemed children. If there is a desire to know more of the person, the Savior who has redeemed us, the Son of God Himself. What a tremendous and an unspeakable privilege it belongs to all who are in the family of God. John the Apostle has properly written in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 these words, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." How the children of God should know more and more concerning this family into which God's grace and love has placed them. And to this end, God has written a special letter to the family in this first epistle of John, which we hope to study together in the will of the Lord. But before going further, perhaps some listener will be saying, "I do not belong to God's family. How can I know that I'm one of His children?" Let me give you a brief but a clear word of counsel. Let me tell you how you can get into God's family. I quote from the Gospel of John, and chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. "But as many as received Him, that is Christ the Son of God, to them gave He power," meaning authority, "to become the sons or the children of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." From these words, you can realize, first of all, that you must be born again, for your first birth is but a natural one, and this cannot make you a child of God. But the Spirit of God is God's agent upon the earth to produce a spiritual birth, and to give you the life of God, which is eternal life. It will deliver you from your sins and their penalty, eternal death, which all of us, we know, fully deserve. The reason God can give this life and make you, as well as me, a child of God in His family, is because of what the Son of God has done by coming into this world to die upon the cross for our sins. Christ has accomplished this, and your sins He bore in His own body upon the tree. But our scripture in John chapter 1 and verse 12 tells there is something that we must do to be sure that we are the children of God. Note it very carefully in the opening words of this 12th verse. "But as many as received Him," that is God's beloved Son, "it is to them, and to them only, that He gives the power to become the sons or the children of God, even to them that believe on His name." My beloved unsaved friend, unless you definitely accept the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as your Savior, believing upon His name, you have no authority to claim yourself to be a child of God and a member in His family. If you have never done this, why do you not do it now? The moment you will, and come to God through His Son alone, you will be welcomed by the Father into His family. For, the Savior said in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." There is no other person but the Son of God who can bring you to the Father. But the very moment you will receive that beloved Son as your Lord and Savior, you will be brought to the Father, and you will know the Father. For you cannot have the Son without also having the Father. May I earnestly ask then, my unsaved listening friend, will you take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior now? For he that hath the Son hath life, and with that life, eternal life, through God's Son and his redeeming work of Calvary, you will know the Father, and you will be a child of God. Now let us commence our approach to the first epistle of John by a few words of introduction to the great epistle itself. You may probably know that the Apostle John wrote the Gospel of John and his epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, are also written and recorded for us. There is a wonderful distinction to recognize between the Gospel which he wrote and our first epistle, which will be our particular study. Now let me point out briefly to you the distinction that is worth realizing and knowing between the Gospel of John and the Epistle of John. The great subject of the Gospel of John is the Son of God. The deity of our Lord Jesus Christ is magnified and presented in all of its glory in John's Gospel. For does he not write, according to John 20 and verse 31, saying, "These things are written that ye may know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." So the Gospel of John presents the Son of God himself in particular. But when we read the first epistle of John, 'tis very evident that his subject concerns in clear detail not just the Son of God, but particularly the sons of God. In other words, the family of God, the Father's children. We could say that the epistle begins where his Gospel finishes. Now let me illustrate it, the difference between these two epistles, by what we read in the Gospel of John that is very precious. If you were to read in John 1 and verse 18, you would find that we are told, "The Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, is in the bosom of the Father." For the Gospel begins by declaring that Christ is in the bosom of his Father. Now who could ever unfold and reveal that Father's heart but only one who eternally lives in the Father's bosom? That one is none other than Christ, the Son of God. And my radio listener, if you and I could be able to know just what is in the Father's heart that gives him infinite and eternal delight, you and I would find it is the Son of his love, even the Lord Jesus. Now he came to the earth that he might bring you and me to the bosom of his Father. Now when you come to the latter part of John's Gospel, in John 13 and verse 23, there is a lovely incident in that upper room, though the disciples were saddened by the news of the Savior's departure. In the 23rd verse of John 13, you can read these words: "There was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved, and that disciple was evidently John himself." Now this is a beautiful picture of a sinner being brought to the bosom of Christ. For my friend, this is the way to the Father's heart, and to the Father's bosom, that you and I must first come to lean on the bosom of Christ, God's beloved Son. Oh, may I state very emphatically, and thank God happily, there is a place for you and for me on the bosom of Christ. And in and through Christ alone can we come to the Father and be made the children of God. So let me state, make sure that you are a child of God. Make sure that you know with certainty that you are a member of the Father's family. May I earnestly persuade you of this earnest and important responsibility, and I'm sure that if you are a child of God and a member of His family, you will better appreciate the epistle that the Father has written through His servant John to the family of God. My beloved radio friend, 'tis important that you know God as your Father, and you may only know Him through the Lord Jesus. Once again, we would repeat those blessed words of the Savior in John 14 and verse 6, when He declared to Philip, and to Thomas, who had been asking Him the way to the Father's house, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except only, exclusively, by me. My radio friend, the Father is waiting to receive you. If never you have come to Him, will you not plead now the atoning merit of the death of Christ as the only ground of your pardon and forgiveness of your sins, and your approach as well as your acceptance to the Father and with the Father? May God bless this truth, that we may all know we are the children of God through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Shall we pray? Blessed Father, by the Holy Spirit, through the word that has been given, may someone come into thy family today through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.